7782573. I'm here in the booth, so I will respond. 778-782-2573. We're back with Speak Up, and we're going to be moving on to the next news piece of the hour. This one is coming out of Terrace, BC. And we're, even though it is a bit far away, it's still within the province. And it is dealing with a topic that is pretty pertinent to us here in the Lower Mainland. This is about a much-needed detox center that has now been approved to be built.
This is CICK News. The city of Terrace currently lacks a dedicated withdrawal management facility. Medical detox services are limited to 2 inpatient beds at Mills Memorial Hospital, prioritized for alcohol withdrawal management, with additional acute care available through the emergency department. Beyond hospital-based services, the community relies on fragmented options such as outpatient programs. Northern Health has recently purchased a building at 4837 Keith Avenue to establish a new community withdrawal management facility as part of the provincial Road to Recovery model. This facility will require renovations before operation, with timelines to be determined following a full assessment and planning process. This represents the first dedicated withdrawal management site in the area, addressing this critical gap that previously forced residents to travel to Prince George for specialized detox services. I spoke with Sean Buitage, the mayor of Terrace, as well as BC's health minister, Josie Osborne, about the future of this project and the wait to get here.
My name is Sean Buitage, and I am the mayor of the city of Terrace. I think there's a catastrophic need for this kind of help. Terrace has the second highest overdose rate next to the downtown east side in the province. And we've been working hard with government to push for more detox and treatment. And we're glad to see some movement on that with some of these projects. And the Red Road to Recovery is one of those pieces that we're super excited about.
Red Road to Recovery is located about 40 minutes outside of Terrace and is a privately owned facility that currently offers 12 residential recovery beds. In addition to the new detox facility in the old UNBC building, this is a big investment in mental health services in Terrace. The two facilities serve different functions, with the Red Road to Recovery focusing on longer-term recovery and the new facility aimed at detoxification.
So what's happened is the provincial government has bought the UNBC building from themselves. So the Northern Health has bought it from the Ministry of Advanced Education. And they are going to renovate the building and turn it in and start by turning it into detox, which is, you know, we haven't had dedicated detox in the area. We've got little pockets of it all over the place, but not dedicated.
And so otherwise, typically people from Terrace were being sent to Prince George.
Well, the problem is they were going nowhere and not being have afforded the ability to detox because there was nothing for them. Because the reality is before you can go to treatment, you need to go to detox. We've got small pockets of detox, but we've never had a dedicated detox space. And this is what this is now. So it's like, you know, you might have a couple beds at the hospital. You might have a couple beds at Seven Sisters and things like that. But now we've got, well, we don't have it yet, but we're going to have these 10 beds, one location, team set up just for these folks.
You touched on this about the toxic drug crisis hitting Northern and specifically for this conversation, Indigenous communities the hardest. So how will this investment specifically reduce overdose deaths in the Skeena region?
This is an important part of the fight, really, against the toxic drug crisis. It's a ever-evolving crisis as new contaminants are added into a toxic drug supply. It's everything about separating people from that toxic drug supply, helping them get onto alternatives that are safer for them while they stabilize, and then getting them into treatment so they can deal with the root causes of addiction and being able to help them on that journey to medically withdraw from a severe addiction issue, whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol, and being able to have that happen under the supervision of trained professionals, of clinicians, is really critical on that path to healing.
And that way folks can detox, and then we can get them off to treatment, and even if they're in other locations, even if they're not in Terrace, because the big piece missing was this. And if you don't have detox, you can't get people to the supports until they do detox. So having that in the community, it to me is life-saving, because the building is going to have to go through some serious renovation. And as we all know, that it was needed yesterday, it wasn't needed today, and it's not needed tomorrow. But unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit down the road until we see this happen. We're really appreciative that the government has finally stepped up and is trying to move forward on this. I don't, in the whole scheme of things, I don't know if this is enough, but it is a darn good start. And you need to start somewhere. So I'm really glad that we're going to see dedicated detox come to Terrace.
We know that programs are important to be delivered right now. And the mental health and substance use community programs available for assessment and treatment and referrals for adults still exist. There is an office in Terrace, and they can be contacted for this. There is a Northwest Outpatient Withdrawal Management Team, the NOW team, which is a new outpatient withdrawal management team that launched in Terrace as part of Road to Recovery. That's available for people. There are still dedicated beds down on in the Island Health region that offer withdrawal management for people from the Northwest. But of course, again, that's one of the reasons why it's so important to move towards a facility in Terrace, is so people can stay close to home. And those are some interim beds. Those are expected to be operational in 2026, so this year.
The new Seven Sisters Mental Health Facility in Terrace has officially just opened, and staff and residents moved in on May 5th of this year. This expanded facility nearly doubles the previous size. It also provides long-term rehabilitation and recovery programs for adults with serious mental health challenges. This facility is part of the Mills Memorial Hospital replacement project.
Is the this building and this site, is this also supposed to be open and operating this year?
No, it's going to take a little longer than that. And again, Northern Health needs to get into the building that's currently occupied by UNBC. So those programs will leave. Northern Health will take over the building. They'll be able to undertake that assessment that needs to be done for planning the renovations, making sure it meets that healthcare facility standards. And once we know more about what those timelines are, we'll certainly be letting the community know, because I know people are anxious to see this program up and going as soon as possible.
Thank you to Mayor Buitash and Minister Osborne for taking the time to speak with me today. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.
This is Bird Note. Dr. Clinton Francis is a sensory ecologist who studies how noise pollution affects birds, like this black-headed grosbeak. He says sounds from machines and vehicles can really disrupt bird behavior because, for most birds, their sense of hearing isn't very good.
Even though birds do rely on acoustics and hearing quite strongly, your typical bird hears about half as well as we do.
Birds rely on their hearing to sense predators and prey and for mating. They need to hear each other's songs and calls in order to communicate and find each other. That makes them very sensitive to noise pollution. Clinton says some species, like the black-headed grosbeak, will just avoid places that get too loud for them.
In our long-term study sites in New Mexico, where we've studied how noise from essentially the energy sector restructures bird communities, we see a complete loss of about one-third of species in noise-polluted areas.
But Clinton says there are lots of ways to help, from switching to quieter electric vehicles to using lawn equipment outside of morning hours when birds are singing the most. Rakes are strongly encouraged. Or just leave the leaves. Learn more about what you can do to reduce noise pollution on the Bring Birds Back podcast. Listen in your favorite podcast app or at birdnote.org. I'm Tasha Lawson.
You're listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is your host for the hour, Danny Nesvedarani, once again. We're about two-thirds of the way into this episode of Speak Up, and in about 20 minutes, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman will be playing. A lot going on with Democracy Now! These days. There's going to be a Democracy Now! Film, a documentary about the escapades of the publication, news outlet, and Amy Goodman coming to the Vancouver International Film Festival, VIFF, on Friday. And if that is something that interests you, you should go check it out. CJSF may be there. So, yeah, just letting you know. And to keep the hour going, we're going to be taking just one last music break. This one is from a local band by the name of Whack, group I've been really into lately. This is off of their latest album by the name of No One's Watching. This track's titled Horses. You're tuned in to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. The last track was by the band Whack, called Horses. And we are at the point of the hour where we're going to go over some local news that is going on around the Lower Mainland. First up in Burnaby, there are a series of workshops being held throughout the Burnaby Public Library system called Your City, Your Choice, An Introduction to Burnaby's 2026 General Local Election. City of Burnaby is holding its next local general election on October 17th, 2026. And if you're interested in learning more, you can join members of the City of Burnaby's election team for an interactive session on voting, the positions that you'll be voting for, and how and why you should get involved. In terms of the how, it also goes into the ways in which you can participate as a volunteer or worker on the day of election, and goes much more in depth in terms of the different positions that you're voting for, because admittedly there are a lot, you know, whether it's school trustees or city councilors, there are a lot of names on that ballot, and it's important to stay informed on what you're actually voting for. I believe the next one of these events is going to be tomorrow at the Metrotown Bob Pretty Library in Burnaby, and that will be, I believe, at 3 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. Anyways, after that, we have a report coming out of New Westminster. Last night at 6 p.m. was their regularly scheduled city council meeting, and during part of that meeting, they spoke about the New Media Gallery New Westminster's program renewal. That is right. Back about a year and a half ago, the executive director and programmer of the New Media Gallery decided to retire, decided to leave. And since then, the New Media Gallery hasn't had any sort of formal exhibitions in the way they have in the past. There have been artists in residence, and they have done workshops and presentations and events through that initiative, but there hasn't been a dedicated curatorial team to put on exhibitions. Recently, there was an environmental scan that concluded that there is strong support for refreshing the New Media Gallery's original mandate of of putting together this curatorial program. And what it found is that they are going to be resuming operations under the direction of a curator and director, both experienced producing new media exhibitions and public programs. So we will let you know more when we know more, but keep an eye out. The New Media Gallery will be coming back with exhibitions at some point in the future. Another thing going on this week, we're going to be moving up to Port Moody. There are three new exhibitions coming this week to Port Moody Arts at Pomo Arts. The first one is titled True Colors Youth Pride Art Exhibition, starting May 14th. True Colors is the annual Youth Pride Art Exhibition at Port Moody, celebrating pride in the city this June. This exhibition is a safe and welcome space for Tri-City 2S LGBTQIA+ youth, their families, and their allies. This exhibition promotes inclusivity, celebrates diversity, and creates space for the unique contributions of youth artists in the community. The second exhibition that will be opening also on May 14th is titled Rise, the Pomo Arts Student Exhibition. Rise is a biennial exhibition celebrating Pomo Arts students at every stage of their artistic journey, from beginner to established artist. This all-age exhibition spans painting, mixed media, and ceramics. And then lastly, we have Beyond Bounds, Blackberry Artist Society. Beyond Bounds is a juried exhibition featuring members of the Blackberry Artist Society pushing beyond the boundaries of their creative practices. Through visual and conceptual experimentation, the artists step outside of familiar approaches to explore new materials, processes, and ideas across painting, textile, sculpture, installation, ceramics, and more. Founded in 1997, the Blackberry Artist Society is a member-run collective of local artists operating the Blackberry Gift Shop at Pomo Arts, dedicated to supporting and showcasing local artwork. The last bit of local news that we have for you today is that the University of British Columbia and Simon Fraser University are among thousands of learning institutions around the world that have been the fallen victim to a cyber breach of the Canvas learning software, and it is feared that this could affect students' personal information. Canvas is the primary learning software for, again, just hundreds of thousands of university institutions. It's where people submit their assignments. It's where people get their grades. It's where people communicate with their classmates and professors. So there's a lot of personal information involved within these platforms. An SFU spokesperson came out and was interviewed by the CBC. They said that around 9,000 learning institutions around the world have been affected by this systems breach. Information that may have been involved includes names, email addresses, student ID numbers, and messages among Canvas users. This is an ongoing story, and we're not sure where the situation is in terms of being resolved as of yet, but as soon as we know, we will let you know as well. All right, and that is the local news roundup for the hour. Thank you so much for tuning in to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Once again, if you have any feedback or anything you want to share about anything that was said or played throughout this hour, make sure you send us a text or a call at 778-782-2573. That is 778-782-2573. Again, we would really love to hear from you. It's really something that we're trying to emphasize here at the station, is just getting people to reach out, getting people to contribute and share their opinions, because that's how we make what we do here possible, by knowing what you want to hear and playing it for you. Anyways, this has been Danny Nesvetterani, your host for the hour. And to end off, we are going to be playing one last track here on Speak Up. It's entitled Minokawa by Mary Anchetta featuring Kimmortal. Make sure you stay tuned. We have Democracy Now! Coming right at 11. Stay tuned.
The valley of the shadow of death. I'll be brave, keep me safe. I stay protected all through the rubble. You step to me, start seeing double my team around me, ancestral bubble. I come in peace. A shield encircles the sound of drums. A phoenix flying to the sun. Under its wings, I'm hidden from spirits. Swept by rage, get out of my way. Spirits misaligned, find another timeline. Planets retrograde, the motion of space, collective quake, giants awake. Trust in my way, navigate me safe.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.